back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have a conversation that matters. The things that we're talking about today, folks, we don't have solutions for them. I want to put that out there before people start calling and yelling at me about we need some solutions, do something about it. We don't have solutions. What we do have is a city full of politicians, which incidentally have just received a raise. It came out in the Baltimore Sun that Baltimore top officials got a 2.5% raise, which is boosting Mayor Young's salary, his annual salary, from $185,000 to almost $190,000. This big raise, folks, is going to raise them all up. People like, you know, Brandon Scott, Comptroller Joan Pratt, rose from $122,000 up to about $125,000. Democratic City Council Vice President Sharon Green Middleton, she's up to $80,000 now. And the rest of the council members, their pay went up from $71,000 up to $73,000. Just want to be clear. This is really important because in a city full of politicians who just got a pay raise, in a city that has some struggles around our median income levels, right? So let's take into account that we have a large portion of Black Baltimore living below the poverty level, that we are really tight in this city when it comes to the bag. We're having a problem getting the bag. In this city, we got a lot of issues. And the people that we are currently paying aren't necessarily moving with the quickness to solve them. But here's one thing they did do. Doug Miller, we don't know him. He put out a post on Facebook. Doug Miller said he was over at, I think, President Lombard with his daughter. This is Doug Miller's words. He said he was going to get a pie, Charm City pies or something. And the Squeegee brothers came up, young, maybe middle school, 2-something in the afternoon, right, during school hours. His daughter was out of school because she had a broken wrist, so he was taking her to get a pie to make her feel better. The brothers rolled up. And they do what they do. Hey, can we clean your windows? You know, you've seen them, right? And if I have money, and I always try to carry a couple of dollars with me, because you know what? It's a couple of dollars, right? So I always got them with me. And they come over. I usually tell them, don't clean my window, but here's some money. Doug Miller said no. He's at the light. He said no. And he said the brother that came over to his window, this happened just last week, January 2nd, the brother that came to his window walked away. He said it looked like the kid was in middle school. The other brother on the other side went and stood kind of in the front of the car. He said, so if he had pulled off, he would have hit the young brother. Meanwhile, now all this is happening at the red light. Meanwhile, here comes a couple of gentlemen, 23, 24 years old, maybe 27. I don't know. I do know, as an aside, the research shows that people who are not of color tend to age our children by 5 to 7 years. Doug Miller said about 23, 24. Could have easily been 17, 18. I don't know. He said they rolled up. He had both the windows cracked, and they said, hey, can't you give some money to the young brothers? The kind of car you're driving, you should be able to help. Something ensued. He said, as he let his window down even farther, no, I don't want to get my windows clean, and I don't want to give. Now, something happened between them, but it ended up with them spraying whatever that was in their bottle in his face. He said then one of them hit the front of his windshield with the squeegee. He pulled off. He ran the light, trying to get around the guy that was in front. And as he was driving off, he said one of them kicked the back of his car, left a footprint back there. And he drove to a friend's house, called the cops. Cops didn't show up. He said he waited maybe an hour and a half. Cops never showed up. 2 hours or so is what Kim Chase is telling me. Kim Chase, who does a new show here from 10 to 12, live music playing here. Kim Chase, about 2 hours or so. He waited. And when he asked the cops, hey, you know, what took y'all so long? They said we were doing roll call, shift change. Whatever was happening, they didn't have anybody to send. Now, we know this was not a high priority. Nobody was shot. Nobody was hit. Nobody was beat. Nobody was robbed. We understand that. But to hear that ain't enough cops if something happens is a bit of a concern. We also understand this is a 311, not a 911. He called 911, but in terms of emergencies, we understand in this city that's more of a 311 than a 911. He put out this post on Facebook. 2,000 people have commented, liked it. It's gone Baltimore viral, which means it's a big thing here in the city. In his Facebook post, he said he reached out to all the mayoral candidates and none of them responded. That's what he put on Facebook. That was January 3rd. He put the post out. Today, January 7th, he's heard from everybody. Mayor Young sent him an email. Brandon Scott had a conversation. He's getting his 911 call. He said he's heard from everybody, every single candidate, probably, he said, other than one candidate who's currently running and the new lady that just got in there today. So he probably hasn't heard from her, but everybody else is getting involved. So we're back to this squeegee thing again, right? I have compassion for the squeegee enterprisers, 18 years of age and under, I do. I've asked you more than once, what do I do with the squeegee men? You told me, when I told you last time that I encountered some squeegee men, you said, Dr. K, they may be between jobs. What if they get aggressive? We had a situation, remember, where the woman had the gun in her car? Now, I don't in any way agree with carrying around a loaded weapon with you. But she said they reached in to grab the loaded weapon and the gun went off. And Doug Miller in his post said that he was thinking about going home and getting his gun and going back. He decided not to, but it was a thought. Folks, we got a situation here that we just need to talk about on this wet and dreary day when our babies got out of school at 3 o'clock. So let's put all that on the table. Give me a call. Let's talk about the city. Let's have a conversation that matters. 410-319-8888. I'm going to Diane from Northeast Baltimore. Diane, how are you?
Yes. Hi, Dr. K.
How are you?
I'm just fine. I'd just like to make a comment on the squeegee kid.
Yes.
I am so sorry that Doug Miller had a negative experience with them, but I must say, my experiences with them have always been positive. If I ask them not to wipe my windows or clean my windows, they say, yes, ma'am. They always address me as, yes, ma'am, thank you. Sometimes I have money, I give them money. If I don't have the money, sometimes they clean my windows anyway.
And, you know, I just want to amen what you're saying, because everyone have my situations have always been positive with the squeegee young men. The ones I've not had any negative experience. I felt uncomfortable with squeegee men. But even then, they haven't been disrespectful or kicked my car or anything. But I find the situation he's talking about a bit concerning, not alarming, but definitely concerning with where does the line get drawn for squeegee young men, 18 and under, and squeegee men who, in this case, according to Doug Miller, became a little aggressive.
And may I also add this, please, and then I'll get off the line. I have even engaged in a conversation with them about, are you in school?
Right.
How are you doing
always
in school? They said, yes, ma'am, I am doing fine. I said, the next time I come back to this intersection, I want to see some report cards.
I know that's right.
If you're making those grades, that's what I want to do. I want you to go even further than what you're doing right
like
now.
That.
Yes, ma'am, I will. So, sometimes they just want to be listened to.
And seen.
And have someone who cares about them. And they have never, God is my witness, they have never disrespected me in any kind of way.
Thank you so
and
much. I appreciate
I
you.
Say.
No, thank you so much, Diane. Now, folks, I will say that I have to just put on the table that as I interact with the young squeegee enterprisers, I am doing it from the space as a Black, more mature woman. So Doug Miller is not of color. He's a man. And that does not justify or excuse what happened. I'm just saying, I wonder, like, is there a better way that we can relate? I don't know. This situation became aggressive very quickly, according to Doug Miller, freaking his daughter out. They respond aggressively. And I am concerned that they sprayed something at him on his face. Like, that is a big concern. 410-319-8888. We have Mark on the phone from Pikesville. Mark, you've been holding a while. Thank you. Mark from Pikesville, line one. How are you?
Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well. To you as well.
Listen, let me, I don't want anybody to think I'm not compassionate at all. If that truly was his situation, I'm sorry that that happened to him and his daughter. However, the only part of that story that moved me, Dr. K, was the fact that he was able to get the mayor and the city council president to reach out to him.
Hello.
But we had people this summer that went without water that couldn't get any response from the city.
I don't even know how to say amen loud enough, Mark. Seriously. I'm serious.
I'm sorry if he's listening, if I'm being incompassionate. You know, I'm sorry that happened to him. I'm in awe that, you know, my brothers and sisters sat without water. And it took you, Dr. K, to get things rolling.
Come on. I'm just, now, you know, Mark, because I'm sure you might have heard my voice. I'm like, the mayor sent you an email. Brandon Scott.
Exactly.
So every mayor of Canada but one has gotten in touch with you off a Facebook post.
And guess what? Kudos to Sheila if she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
the fish to fry right now.
Now, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and say this. You know, they're already mad at me, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. But how about the fact that our babies at Carver saw a body across the street?
Thank you,
and
Dr. Chase.
We showed up the next day, and Zeke Cohen came and joined us. But I'm like, well, where are the? But I guess nobody had declared then their candidacy, right?
Now, Dr. K, I'm a Baltimore City School employee, and so let me just help you out a little bit. You yourself, as a former employee, that notion that if they were to move their offices into these
schools, that is
not going to help either. And I'll tell you why. In those schools, this is my 19th year. And I've worked in art. I'm blessed now in my sixth year at a school that's fully air-conditioned. But Dr. K, let me tell you, the administrative offices in those non-air-conditioned schools are cool. So even moving them into those buildings, the administrative offices in all non-air-conditioned buildings are cool.
Come on.
And have been. I am sick of this notion that our kids has got to be as tough as the kids that my grandfather in the 1900s had to be.
Come on.
I'm sick of hearing them stories around our table. Back in the day, we went to school in 80 feet of snow.
And we don't have to anymore.
We don't have to anymore.
I'm with you.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm all over the place. But I work in this system, and it is not about our kids or education. Our kids are pawns in their game. Our kids are the grass while the elephants fight, and you know what happens to the grass when elephants fight.
Yes, the elephants. Thank you so much. I like that. Woo, I'm putting that down. Our kids are the grass when elephant fights. We have Joanne on the phone. Joanne's a second-time caller. Joanne, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm just writing that quote down. Our kids are the grass when elephants fight. I love that.
That's quite a statement, isn't it? Yes. I was calling to remark on both things, but the lady asked me to choose, and so I thought I would choose the squeegee. I've had some bad experiences and seen bad experiences. I understand that the need for money and all, but what I really think should be done is I think the city should outlaw the squeegee people.
Really?
Because they're dangerous. I have seen them at a red light open somebody's door, open the car door, and say, give me some money.
Wow.
And I think that what's going to end up happening, somebody's going to end up getting really hurt, and it's probably going to be a driver.
Mm. So when they outlaw, so what do you think? I mean, I just want to kind of play this out a little bit. What do you think, Joanne, if we outlaw the squeegee work? Because I get kind of confused about exactly what that is, right? Because you're figuring that they could only be making a buck or two, if that much, per car. So maybe, you know, $10, $15, $20 a day. If they outlaw that, do you then think that they should perhaps implement some type of year-round employment program for young people who are trying to make ends meet? What do you think of that?
It would be good if they can, and I really don't have the answer, but what I think is going on currently is that these kids are empowered by the fact that they know they have sympathy of the public, and their behavior sometimes is terrible, and there's no one doing anything about it. And when they say, well, just give me some money, and for people who give their money to me, it encourages them. I know it sounds hard, but that's what I honestly think.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Joanne. So Joanne is saying that maybe we need to outlaw squeegee work in this city and replace it with what? I mean, we're now talking going to the greatest extreme. I saw somebody put on Doug Miller's Facebook page, because Justina showed it to me. I read through it. Someone said, not only outlaw the squeegee enterprise, throw them in jail if they do it. Just put that out there, folks. Not only are we going to outlaw the squeegee work, but we're also going to arrest them and put them in jail. Is that really the direction that here in Baltimore City, when you look at the state of Maryland, we are a minority in the state of Maryland, but we have more black folks in prison in Maryland, with a bulk of them being from Baltimore City. So throw them in jail, because that will solve the problem. I have a quick clip of from the Squeegee Kids of Baltimore. Let's take a little listen to it, and I'm going to come right back to Uncle Ray from Cherry Hill.
Family, we hustlers. We trying to make a difference.
Talk about the difference you're making.
I ain't too much to say. It's a good difference. It's a good difference. It make people stop, look, and see what you're doing. I do good in school. I'm a college boy. I'm working on a career. And plus, I like cleaning windows. Take care of my mother. Take care of my family. My family. Make sure all the boys are good. Do what I gotta do.
Why do you think people give you such a hard time?
Skin tone. And probably what we're wearing. A lot of dark clothes.
That's a little clip from an online documentary, about 5 minutes long, called The Squeegee Kids of Baltimore. And the young person was saying that, you know, he said he's a college boy, he's taking care of his family, but that he's using the squeegee work to supplement the family's income. Now, I don't know how much money they make. I know Ron Cassie from the Baltimore Magazine did a wonderful expose on the squeegee enterprisers, but I'm going to just kind of step out this. I don't think they're making thousands upon thousands. They're not making a big old bag out there. But a number of them, from what we've been finding, are using the money to supplement their income, their family's income. We have Uncle Ray from Cherry Hill. Uncle Ray, how are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. King.
Good afternoon.
I'm glad I was able to get through.
Me too.
What I want to say is, I think this situation needs to be cleared up from the term. It's not really squeezy kids. These people, they're squeezy, they're grown-ups, you know. And if it's a crime scene waiting to happen, why don't they just let the police be right in the vicinity so they can monitor the situation before something happens, you know.
Now, let me ask you what you mean. Now, hold on, just so we can play this out. So having the cops stand by and something happened. According to Doug Miller, he called the cops, and 2 hours later, none of them showed up. If we look at the places where the squeegee, I call them squeegee enterprises because the word squeegee kids and squeegee has all these negative connotations around it. But the young people who are doing the squeegee work, if we set cops up on all those different places, don't you think, Uncle Ray, they just move somewhere else?
Well, I think the high crime, well, the area where the impact is the most.
Okay.
You know, where the most complaints come from. I think that could be a target for the authorities to be in the area just so they can witness or they can be helpful to a person that needs help.
But not necessarily arresting them, just kind of overseeing.
Exactly. Or somewhat, yes.
Okay. I appreciate you, Uncle Ray. Thank you so much. I have Alyssa on the phone. Alyssa is a new caller from Baltimore County. She's a Baltimore City school teacher. Alyssa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had two different routes to work, and both routes are always, there's the squeegee enterprise on the route. And I've always had really great experiences, but I always think it's just really important to treat them like people.
Right.
Like, I feel like what do you kind of expect if they're often being, like, shooed away or, like, ignored? Like, people get agitated. But, like, if you just roll down your window and you're like, hey, like, I've even, like, kind of joked with them. I was like, guys, I can't have a toll road, like, going to work. And they just kind of laugh. Like, and then I was like, what school do you go to? Because there's a number of schools on that road. And I'm like, oh, my friend works there. And it's a good conversation. I mean, I think we just need to although, like, when we're driving, sometimes you can be agitated about X, Y, and Z.
Right.
You just treat people like humans.
I like that. Let me ask you something, too, Alyssa, since we have you on the phone. And I was talking at the top of the show about the fact that Baltimore City Schools waited so long to close. In fact, they did not close. They went the whole day. Just very quickly, what's your take on that? Because the county closed at 1, we were open till 3 or till whatever the end of the day was.
I mean, you're talking to a Jersey girl, so I feel like we handle snow very differently.
We don't handle snow at all very well in the city. We know that.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Okay. I feel like it was kind of where I was in the city. It was just a little slushy. And it was, the kids were all picked up at 3 o'clock, and it was still pretty much rain, mm-hmm. a little bit of sleet. So, I mean, it's a catch-22 with weather, right?
Right.
I feel like it's really difficult to make a judgment call that meets everyone's needs.
All right. I appreciate you, Alyssa. Folks, we're going to hold it here. When we come back, look at this. We got Nathaniel on the phone from Pikesville. Leo Burris is checking in from Bolton Hill. Kim Chase, who's the host of Live and Uncut, he's standing by. And there's a line for you. 410-319-8888. Should we outlaw? Come on, folks. Listen to this. Should we outlaw squeegee work in this city, potentially setting a whole nother generation up with records? Come on, folks. 410-319-8888. Come with back with me and let's talk some more. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. KY's Whitehead. Folks, if you are out there driving, please be safe. Take your time. Get home. And just say a little prayer for our babies who are still commuting. You cannot convince me that they're not still out there. I will beat this drum forever that I think that in the big grand scheme of things, our children are at the bottom of the barrel in terms of people's concerns. Now, this just didn't happen. Like, Baltimore City didn't just spring up today. We understand we can go back historically in this country where our children, from the beginning of the founding of this nation, our children have always been sacrificed on somebody's altar. The altar of whiteness, the altar of slavery, the altar of Jim Crow, the altar of, you know, separated schools, the altar of Baltimore City policies. Our children are always the last one to get the drops off the table. We know that. So our schools staying open today until 3 is nothing new. It's not new. And people are giving me stories. It happened to me in 75. It happened to me in 82. Dr. K in 2009. You know what, folks? It's 2020. We don't have to do things the same way. Just because my daddy walked to school 5 miles, which he did, going past all the white schools to get to the little colored room with the big black cast iron oven. I mean, just because he did, he marched so I don't have to. How about that? So just because you went to city back in the 80s and they didn't have heat in 2020, our children should be able to have heat. You know why? Because you grew up and became a voter. You grew up and became a taxpayer. You grew up and became a parent. So you should know that there's nothing about that that makes sense. We're now talking about our squeegee young men. Well, somebody call my show. Let me just be clear. Someone call my show and said we should outlaw the young doing squeegee work. And then let's lock them up. So let's take the young brothers who are out here doing squeegee. Let's lock them up so the city will be safer. I guarantee you, folks, as Dr. K is surely my name, that locking up squeegee enterprisers will not make the city safer. It won't. Because if that was the case, then the mayor who just got that big raise, where he's now making 190 plus, then he would have done that. Then Catherine Pugh and Healthy Holly, you know, $800,000, she would have done that. Come on now. Stephanie Rollins Blake and Sheila Dixon and Mayor O'Malley, who wanted to lock everybody up and still would if he could. If the case was that simple, let's just lock up all the bad folks. You know how many people they've locked up in this city? You know how many black folks, men, are doing time or have done time or getting ready to do time? If it was just that simple, then we wouldn't have 300-plus homicides in 2019 if locking folks up was the answer. I'm going to lock you up for spraying something on my window. Come on, folks. I'm just saying. I'm just going to put this out here. Folks ain't getting locked up for shooting and killing black people who aren't armed. So if they're not getting locked up, then perhaps we should think about another way to do this. Just putting it out here. Having a conversation about Baltimore City. Hey, if the least of us are not comfortable, then nobody is comfortable. 410-319-8888. I have Kim Chase from Live and Uncut, a new show here on WEAA. It started on Monday, which is yesterday, 10 to 12. Hey, Kim, how are you?
I'm doing well. Some of the stuff that I'm hearing, some of it troubles me, and some I'm listening to. The people need to realize that there are a lot of good ideas, and the situation is not a 1, 2, 3. It's rather complex. And I think locking up the kids, number one, is extreme because it's creating another problem in a system that doesn't need to be burdened with much more. And I think it would also help to exacerbate an economic catastrophe that's probably there already. So locking them up is not going to really do anything. Maybe by getting them to learn a business plan and getting them to be licensed and getting them to be making sure that their equipment has to be in order like you would a mechanic for a car and so forth. Otherwise, there are repercussions behind that. They would begin to follow something, a type of order that would help them to understand the responsibility of what they're doing. Because if you scratch the windshield and then you have to pay for a $1,500, $2,000 windshield, you'll stop doing that. And so it would stop, maybe it would help to curb, that could be one of the things to help to curb some of the situation, like when the guy, you know, sprayed something in Mr. Miller's face,
right?
Assault, when he kicked his car, that's called a second degree assault, and, you know, somebody opening the door, give me your money,
right?
Probably attempted robbery, like... Some of this stuff would stop because they would be business owners that would have to be responsible for their business and what they were doing, and then they would truly be enterprise.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kim Chase. He's the host of Live and Uncut, which comes on here every day. It's Live and Uncut. It's all this music. It's a wonderful show, folks. And we are now live here on WEAA from 6 a.m. in the morning with Mornings with Mikkel. 10 a.m. we have Live and Uncut with Kim Chase. And then, of course, at 12, Robert Shaheed, who's my main man, comes on from 12 to 3. He leads me into Today with Dr. K from 3 to 5. And then we have my man Faraji Muhammad coming in with For the Culture from 5 to 7. And stay tuned because we have some great things getting ready to happen at 7 p.m. right here on WEAA. 410-319-8888. Nathaniel from Pikesville has been holding for a while. Nathaniel, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Dr. K. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Again. Appreciate that. Hey, you know what? I hate to say it, but you got to outlaw those Ouija boys.
Outlaw them? Okay. So now, okay. Outlaw. Okay. So make them outlaw. Make it a crime to wash somebody's window. That's what
Hear
you're saying.
Me out.
Okay.
All right. So check this out. If you're giving money to these guys, you're enabling them, and you're keeping them on the streets. And they're the only guys who are aggressive. The ones, the Latino brothers who used to sell roses at the intersections, the guys selling bean pies, and the firefighters collecting donations for their facilities. They're not aggressive when you don't give them anything. You know, they don't have that sense of entitlement. Even the guys who used to sell the CDs and DVDs out of their car, and the ones selling those little oils. They are not aggressive when you don't give them some money.
Now, not all of them. Come on now, Nathalia. I haven't given money to a lot. Well, I've never had an aggressive encounter. Here's my question for you. So if mm-hmm. we outlaw the young people who do it, we outlaw squeegeeing, right?
Yep.
So then what do we have the brothers do? Just do what we see people doing, just hold up the shoe or the bucket and just have them collect money? Because, I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, I'm constantly seeing people
doing
that.
Come on, Dr. K. I mean, I've spoken to these guys. The money that they're getting, it's not like they're turning. In my opinion, you know, I hear the stories of them going out and buying weed or going to the store and trying to buy alcohol. They're not turning that money around in a positive way. In my opinion,
Nathaniel, we can't speak as a blanket,
right? I've spoken to these guys.
The ones
you've spoken to.
Okay.
I I've went so far to tell them, look, you guys hit me on the way down the street. And now you got some guys on the other corner hitting me on the way up the street. So I don't have anything sweet. But it's like the gentleman that you played that clip from, who was speaking on that clip that you played.
The young immigrant.
He sounds like one of the guys you hear off the first 48.
All right, I'm gonna stop you there, Nathaniel.
And
I appreciate you.
No,
now I have to stop you there because I know I have a lot of calls. You know, I love having you on the thing. I want to get everybody in here. So that's two votes to outlaw the squeegee work. And so if they do it, because if it's a crime, then that means they get locked up. Like, is that really the road we want to go down? Folks, you know what? Let me just go to the callers. Cherie is a new caller from West Baltimore. Cherie, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I am fine. Hi, Dr. K.
How you doing?
I am doing great. And I just want to say I have been down around Howard Street, the Squeegee Boys. I've never had a problem. I told them I didn't want it. I gave them a couple dollars. They told me, ma'am, thank you. I told them to be careful. They told me to be careful. Mm. I have seen the Squeegee Boys on Caton and Wilkins Avenue. Never had a problem. Do not outlaw.
Come on.
We're going around saying, outlaw this, outlaw that. If we make a way for them to make an income or have something to bring in to the household, they wouldn't be standing on that corner. Because people should stop and realize it could be you or me or my son or my grandson out there because they need to make a couple dollars so their family can eat. Don't outlaw.
Come on. I think outlawing is huge. To make it a crime is what we're saying. Something that has been, as we know, connected to African-American young men. I think we cannot overstate the impact of race in this situation, right?
One of your callers, the lady that was the teacher, I agree with what she said. If you're having a bad day, don't take it out on them, okay?
Yes.
Because all of them, and like I said, maybe I just was blessed. The ones that I come up against, I've never had nothing being disrespectful, nothing thrown on my window. If you go and you be nice to them with a positive attitude to show these young men that we care about them, then they'll probably be nice to you.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Folks, this is a hot issue here. We have Terry on the phone from Parkville. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
You know, I'm listening, and I heard when you said that you all are going to get together and you all are going to actually go to some of the areas
where
these young people work at.
Yep.
So I thought, why is it possible that we can get some business owners to go and talk with them and let them know how business works?
Yes.
And you don't want to decrease your clientele. You want to increase your clientele. I mean, they come in. You know, you have people come in your business, and maybe today they can't spend $20. Maybe they only can spend $5.
Right.
But you don't want to keep them out of the business because they can't come in. You know, you don't want to do anything to decrease. You want to increase your clientele. So is there any way you can get some guys just to go out and teach them what good business is? You know, today he may not have money, but tomorrow he may come back and give you something he didn't have yesterday.
And that's what tomorrow we go out because we're going all over. We're going to do a drive-by. We're like, you know what? We talk about it. I've seen it. So Justina and I are going out together. She's going to drive. I'm going to videotape, record everything. But I want to see what's happening at these five spots where people are saying it's gotten so rough that your cars are being kicked. Now, I know Doug Miller is just one person, but are you hearing people saying let's make it a crime?
No, I don't. That's definitely not the way to go.
That's
huge. Most of them are young boys.
Yes.
$1 or $2 to get something to eat, a snack, or whatever. They're not trying to, you know, build homes and go to college with the money. They're just trying to get a few dollars in their pocket.
You're not buying Benzes and big houses off this.
Yeah, you can't go get a real job because you're too young to really work. Yeah, you can't get your, you know, the license thing you need. So no, I definitely don't think they can make a juvenile delinquent out of them. I definitely don't think you ought to do that.
That's unbelievable to
you
me.
Know, we definitely don't want to do that. No. We want to teach them what good business is. If you're going to run it, what you're doing is a business because you're profiting from it. So we want to teach them what good business looks like.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Now,
folks, I'm going to throw something out here. So let's see if we can connect the dots because we need to connect the dots here. So you have these young squeegee enterprisers who are out there doing this work during school hours. And so the question that Doug Miller raised is why weren't they in school? Why weren't they in school? These are schools where we're talking about we've been complaining about the heat. We've been complaining about the air. We've been talking about the fact that their babies were in there till 3 p.m. We've been talking about schools where the genius isn't spark, schools where you have, you know, no stalls in the bathroom, you have bars on the window. Why weren't they in school? We understand If you talk about the research and you look at what is the path to young people dropping out of school, where does it start? Does it start in sixth grade? Does it start in ninth grade? Does it start in fifth grade? No, no, folks. The research says it starts way back in first grade. What is happening in first grade where students that are of color, Black and brown students, you know, Caucasian students who are economically challenged, are in schools where their genius is not being sparked, and it puts them on a path. Folks, if you really want to understand this squeegee situation, the school situation, you got to go all the way back and look at what the root of it is. And the root of it deals with poverty and redlining and the ways in which income is segregated in this city, the ways in which your lifespan is dictated by your zip code in this city. Come on, folks. It is connected. We have Nick on the phone. Nick's a new caller from Baltimore County. Nick, how are you? Welcome to the family.
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. I used to live in the city. I moved to Baltimore in 1999. And just a little side note, I noticed when I first moved here, when O'Malley was running things, and, you know, shutting down those police athletic leagues definitely wasn't a good move, in my opinion. I used to be in law enforcement as well.
Mm.
I'm now a teacher, actually in Anne Arundel County, but I live in Baltimore County. I've had a couple incidents, nothing bad, but, you know, with the squeegee crew there. And, you know, I agree. I think if you show respect, they'll respect you back. And, you know, a lot of times people don't have cash. You know, they just have their debit cards or
right.
whatever. But something else I've noticed, you know, there's a lot of other things that can be done in the city as far as jobs. Cleaning up trash is one thing. I have a place
yes.
on Northern Parkland. It's constantly litter everywhere, and, you know, a lot of the abandoned areas could get cleaned up. I don't know why the city can't implement something like that.
Right.
And then also maybe even attach some of that to grades and staying in school and, you know, not having those hours during the school day, of course, too. So I just think the city needs to get more creative. I mean, we have millions of dollars coming in. You know, we got to do something, be more creative for our young people and get them other jobs besides just squeegee stuff, you know?
I agree. Thank you so much. Folks, there's a program called the Bridge to Work Program, and it began in April. I'm looking at this. But what they do is they pay. This is in Denver. Denver is one of the places that did it. But they're paying people who are temporarily experiencing homelessness $9.25 an hour to clean up litter from the city streets. So they're training them in how to clean up the litter and then paying them. Is there a way that we can incentivize these programs for young people? Go to school. And then when you get out, instead of going on the corner dealing with trying to squeegee the car where you're dealing with traffic and drivers and stress, how about we train you in how to pick up trash and we pay you $9.25 an hour? We pay you in how to clean up the snow and we pay you $9.25 an hour. We train you in how to cut grass and we pay you $9.25. We incentivize it and we focus on the young. Instead of giving them these small temporary jobs in the summer, what about a year-long employment program? That way, squeegeeing looks less tempting than actually getting trained to do a job. I don't know. I'm just talking here. We got Ross on the phone, from new caller from Baltimore County. Ross, how are you? Welcome to the family. Ross on line 6.
I'm doing just fine. And how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm calling about the subject of squeegee. You call them enterprise?
Yes, the enterprises. I'm trying to find a way to not just characterize them as squeegee kids. That's what I'm
thinking.
Sounds
good to me. I've had different encounters with the young men, both, you know, negative and positive, one particular corner. But overall, you don't know if these kids are trying to scrape together a few pennies to get money
yes.
to eat dinner
yep.
or for a lunch at school. And I support them.
Yep.
I mean, even if I don't need my windows washed or whatever, I might drop 50 cents, a dollar, 50 cents, or whatever, into their hand or into their pocket. On some occasions, the squeezy guy that I encountered, he, you know, he was a big guy, looked kind of mean, but he was hungry.
Mm.
And I had some leftover lunch, and I felt embarrassed offering it to him, but he said, I'll take it. He began eating the lunch right there at the
wow.
light.
Wow.
That made me experience a bunch of feelings, you know?
No,
but
I'm so
I think
glad
that we
this.
Should try to, I think one caller said, teach them how to monopolize on their money that they make, and maybe somebody can give them some incentives on a business. If we don't be careful, somebody is going to profit from that.
Oh, yes. Somebody is.
From the hack stands. Now they got Uber and Lyft.
Come on.
You know, back in the day, people were giving Mr. John 30 cents. I mean, I'm sorry, $3 to take
B. I mean, the whole thing of the hacking, I think about that. People were making money. And now? That's gone. Somebody's found a way. Because I remember the hack, when I would come to Baltimore City or New York. You hold up your hand, you give people a couple of dollars, they ride you up the street. Now it's Lyft, now it's Uber, now it's an enterprise, again, off of a need that people have. It's very interesting. Because someone's going to make some money off this. We see it coming, right?
Absolutely. You mark my words. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And it's off of the ideas and the backs of these young brothers.
It is.
Trying to make a few pennies.
Trying to keep things going. Thank you so much, Roz. Yeah. I appreciate you. Jackie, a new call from Northeast Baltimore. Jackie, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was listening to about, they were saying something about give them, how to teach them how to make a business out of what they're doing.
Yes.
So, and I know we want to keep them in school also.
Yeah,
so,
we're trying.
Back in the 70s, I graduated in 1980, but when I was in high school, they had a program that was called the YEP, which was Youth Entitlement Program.
Mm.
So what we did was we worked at the school, and the city paid for us to work while we stayed in school, but they gave us like a little job at the school that the city paid for.
I'm not sure
who was really funded, and I was thinking if they bring that program back, that would encourage them to stay in school, and it also made money. Because back then, I was making like $60 every 2 weeks.
Oh, I like that.
And then it became $70 every 2 weeks. As long as you came, you signed in, you got a paycheck at the end of the 2 weeks, bi-weekly.
See, and that, I like that. I'm putting that down. Maybe it's a way of trying to give our young people, I'm not going to say young brothers because sisters as well, and of all genders, young people, just another incentive. Is it about bringing food home to the table? Why can't we do that? Through come to school so you get your education, but also you can make some money where you don't have to go. Because who in the world really wants to stand on a corner?
Right, exactly.
Moving through traffic. Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Those things that they were talking about, how to start a business.
Yeah.
It can be like somebody volunteering their service to go into wherever. We were stationed in a recreation center.
I like that. The youth entitlement program.
Yeah. So we might have went out some days and like cleaned up the neighborhood, but we came back, we was able to do our homework, whatever else we need to do for school. So we still got the work and the school, and we got paid for it.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much, folks. I'm just putting that out there. Let me see here. Marlon from West Baltimore, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm just fine. Happy New Year.
To you as well.
I want to say that I am so frustrated. It's a love-hate relationship with Baltimore. But in relation to the topic of discussion, I believe that the squeegeeing is unlawful as it stands right now because you're not allowed to walk in the middle of traffic, in a road. Not to say that we should criminalize it, but I believe it is already illegal.
So do you think it's a law? You think that's a law that should be pushed, though? I'm wondering.
No.
Okay.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head by incentivizing these young brothers and sisters with gainful employment. Squeegeeing, to me, is absolutely dangerous. One of these kids are going to get hit one day chasing after a dollar.
Yeah.
It's not worth their life.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Oh, and it's dangerous. I see them at night, and I think it's really frightening out there. And where I sit.
One distracted driver, and somebody's going to be laid out, and it's really not worth it. These are real lives. So, once again, I think the city can do a better job of creating a job program, spread it throughout the city where it can touch each and every intersection where they would be squeegeeing. Bring them into the program where they can get gainful employment. Train them to get bigger and better jobs. How to create resumes and how to do job interviews and things like that while they're earning money.
I agree. I appreciate you. I got to stop you there. Thank you so much. I have Damon on the phone, the new caller from Baltimore City. Damon is gone. We have Leo Burrows has been holding a while. Hey, Leo.
Hi, Dr. K-Wise Whitehead. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for holding.
Well, I'll be very brief. I think that I listened to Kim Chase earlier. I agree with his vision. His father and I were friends. I worked for the Self-Help Housing and Environmental Improvement Program with Eugene Chase's father years ago. And I will tell you that we've got to have more compassion for our youth.
We do.
If a youth or a squeegee person commits a crime, I don't have a problem with a documented evidence that a crime has been committed and punishment for the squeegee person who commits a crime. But the fact of the matter is we have desperate poverty in this city. And all these people talking about what we ought to do. Well, what are you doing by way of mentoring the youth and demanding that the mayor of this city and Brandon Scott and all these city council people set up a year-round youth works program that provides basic funding for our children? They're not talking about that. They're prioritizing giving welfare to rich people in the form of water bills that are not being collected upon.
Come on.
So I'm saying we got to demand that we be more sensitive and that we do whatever is necessary at the grassroots level to involve and meet the needs of our children, families, and community.
Thank you so much, folks. Having compassion for us, having a heart for us, having desire to work for us. You don't have to like us. If you are an elected politician in this city, you don't have to like us. You don't have to love us. In fact, we probably get on your nerves, but you got to have compassion for us. You got to have a heart for us, and you got to have a desire to work for us. Because if you don't, then you should not be elected or reelected in this city. That's where I'm staking my pin in the grass. If you don't want to do the work, if you don't have a heart for us, if you don't have compassion for us, then you should not be in office. And we should not either elect you or reelect you, folks. Come on now. We got to be better at this. We have Margie on the phone from the Northwood area. Margie, how are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
Happy New Year.
To you as well.
The only problem that I have with the squeegee experience is usually the light will change. And sometimes that is not, they don't seem to be aware of the timing of the light. So a lot of times, you know, they'll come to your car, but the light is changed and somebody in the back starts beeping, and you have to go on. And I don't want them to start, and I don't be able to give them, you know, something. So I'll just keep going. But I remember when they had the PAL program. I think that was through the police department. I'm not sure. I remember my granddaughter used to work for the PAL program. And they were, she worked at a recreation center. And a lot of the recreation centers, you know, I don't even know where they are now.
Well, you know, a lot of them, thank you so much for calling. A lot of them are closed. Now, folks, I just want to say that, you know, we got to end the show. I know we've had a discussion today. We promised, Justina and I, we said we're going out tomorrow. We want to go and I want to see for myself. We're going to President Lombard Street, MLK Boulevard, North Avenue in Mount Royal, Liberty Heights and Hilton Parkway near Walbrook. Let's just take a field trip, folks. We're going to take a field trip and we're going to go on out there. We're going to get some audio. We're going to do some videotaping if we can. And then we're going to meet you back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. And let's just talk about it. Because apparently, it's what I said yesterday, what I said the week before, what I said last year. Ain't nobody coming to save us. And I use the word ain't purposely. Ain't nobody coming to save us. We have got to be the ones to save ourselves. It's been an honor and privilege to serve you this way. Be careful out there. I'll meet you tomorrow at 3 p.m.